KPBS On Demand is supported by the San Diego County Toyota Dealers, presenting the new 2024 RAV4 with on- and off-the-road versatility and up to a 262-mile range with gas, hybrid, and plug-in options available. Visit your Toyota dealer for more. San Diego County Toyota Dealers. We make it easy.
Good morning. I'm Debbie Cruz. It's Wednesday, September 18th. The San Diego City Council votes to pass a resolution supporting hotel workers on strike. More on that next, but first, let's do the headlines. The number of home sales in the county dropped last month. According to the California Association of Realtors, also known as CAR, there was a 4.7% decline in sales compared to July. Although the number of houses selling dropped, the median price of sold homes only slightly changed from July to August. The median price of a single-family home last month was just over $1 million. CAR's senior vice president and chief economist said one of the reasons home sales are down is because buyers are waiting for the Federal Reserve to cut rates. But home sales in the county are more than 3% higher compared to August last year. A $13 million investment on a construction facility at Rancho Buena Vista High School is paying off. Students are building tiny homes for homeless veterans and learning skills they'll take with them after graduation. Eric Espinosa is a senior.
It's going to be my favorite project so far because, I mean, we're starting to build a tiny home with plumbing and electrical and everything, which is just pretty cool for someone my age to start doing.
The course also helps students get OSHA certified and apply for apprenticeship programs. School administrators say this gives students trade school options and lifelong experience. The tiny homes will be donated through the Warrior Village Project this week. Rain is still projected in this week's weather forecast. The National Weather Service says there's a slight chance of rain starting tonight and into tomorrow morning in all parts of the county except the desert areas. Today in the inland and coastal areas, it'll be in the low 70s. In the mountains, temps will be in the high 60s. And in the deserts, it's expected to be in the low 90s. We can expect similar temps for the rest of the work week before they start to rise over the weekend. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
Hello, this is Dr. Michael Lalage, Medical Director and Chief of Staff for Kaiser Permanente San Diego. For more than 50 years, San Diegans have entrusted their health care to us. Our care and coverage connect to provide medical care tailored to each member. With our integrated network of primary and specialty care, we work together using evidence-based medicine to help deliver positive results. We believe in a healthy and engaged life with good beginnings and dignified endings. We believe that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness requires total health, including equal access to high-quality, affordable health care. At Kaiser Permanente, our cause is health. Our passion is service. We work to help make lives better. To learn more, visit kp.org/San Diego.
Striking hotel workers in San Diego got some support yesterday from the San Diego City Council when it passed a resolution calling on the Hilton Bayfront to go back to the bargaining table. Reporter John Carroll has more from the picket line on the San Diego Bayfront.
Workers at the Hilton Bayfront have been on strike since Labor Day weekend. They're represented by Unite Here Local 30, and the union says the last time they were at the negotiating table with Hilton was last week. At that point, the offer was a $5.50 raise over 4 years. That would put the lowest paid workers at $29.50 an hour in 2028. Unite Here President Bridget Browning says that's not sufficient to be able to live in San Diego. She called on Hilton to make a business decision.
We have cost you more in lost business than the contract would cost. Like, at some point, you just got to put your ego aside and do right by the workers.
We reached out to Hilton but did not get a response by our deadline. John Carroll, KPBS News.
A senior enlisted Marine at the San Diego Recruit Depot is in the brig and facing charges. Military reporter Andrew Dyer has the latest.
Until last week, Sergeant Major Gerardo Trevino was the highest-ranking enlisted Marine at the 3rd Recruit Training Battalion at MCRD San Diego. He was arrested September 11th by the Naval Criminal Investigative Service. A depot spokesperson tells KPBS Trevino was removed from his role the next day due to, quote, loss in trust and confidence. That's boilerplate military jargon used when leaders are removed for any number of reasons, often for some sort of misconduct. Neither the Marines nor NCIS is saying why Trevino was arrested, with both citing the ongoing investigation. NCIS says Trevino remains in the brig in pretrial confinement. In the military court system, it's up to a person's commander whether they remain behind bars before trial. In that system, Trevino won't be charged until a preliminary hearing can be convened. Thousands of Marine recruits go through boot camp in San Diego every year. Andrew Dyer, KPBS News.
With America's bitter divide on full display this election season, social media platforms are often blamed for fanning polarization by failing to rein in hate speech and misinformation. KPBS's Amitha Sharma reports on new research showing Instagram does little to stem harassment of women politicians. She joins me now. Tell me about the research, Amitha.
Well, Debbie, the Center for Countering Digital Hate studied more than 500,000 Instagram posts related to 10 well-known women politicians, 5 Democrats, 5 Republicans. You're going to recognize probably most of the names. The Democratic side included Vice President Kamala Harris and Congressional Representatives Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Nancy Pelosi. The Republican side included Representatives Marjorie Taylor Greene, Lauren Boebert, and Senator Marsha Blackburn. From those 500,000 comments, researchers extracted 1,000 of the most toxic posts, and I want to give you a couple of examples. One person posted in reference to Vice President Harris, quote, "We don't want blacks around us, no matter who they are." Another person targeting Senator Marsha Blackburn wrote, quote, "Hope someone leaves you for dead in a ditch." Here's Imran Ahmed, who started the Center for Countering Digital Hate, describing the other types of posts he found aimed at these women.
Using extreme language, the C word repeatedly, using racist language, calling people the N word. We found that a lot of these posts were from repeat offenders who were consistently going back again and again and again to these women and abusing them. So that every time they post, no matter what it's on, it might be talking about how they have a new childcare policy. It might be talking about how they want to improve healthcare locally. We'll get a constant drumbeat of racist, misogynist, hateful abuse that threatens them, that makes them think, well, gosh, why on earth am I even bothering to do this?
Amitha, so who is posting these comments?
You know, Debbie, there was a time when law enforcement would tell us that trolls were these loner guys in their PJs sitting in their parents' basement posting. But Emmett says when it comes to online harassment of women politicians, that's simply not the case. He says it's coming from people across the political spectrum. It's being posted with impunity, and it's because online abuse against women has been normalized.
And what was done with the research findings?
Well, researchers took those 1,000 text messages about the women politicians that they had ferreted out as being toxic and this is important, in violation of Instagram's own rules on content, and submitted them to Instagram. Here's Ahmed describing what happened next.
93% of the time, even after reporting the comments, having it handed to them on a silver platter, they took no action. Sexist abuse like make rape legal, racist abuse like we don't want blacks, and threatening comments like death to her and her supporters.
And I should say, Debbie, I reached out to Meta, who owns Instagram, for an interview. The company issued a statement from its head of women's safety, Cindy Southworth. She said the following, quote, "We provide tools so that anyone can control who can comment on their posts, automatically filter out offensive comments, phrases, or emojis, and automatically hide comments from people who don't follow them. We work with hundreds of safety partners around the world to continually improve our policies, tools, detection, and enforcement, and we will review the CCDH report and take action on any content that violates our policies," end quote. Ahmed emphasized this is not a case where new rules are needed. He says platforms just need to enforce their current rules on the books.
Amitha, you reported on these threats to local women, both on social media and in person at local meetings. What's behind the threats?
Intimidation. A year ago, I spoke with UCSD political scientist Barbara Walter about the purpose of the intimidation. She described it this way.
It's a form of verbal terrorism designed to basically verbally beat your target into submission.
How do local women holding office deal with the threats?
The ones I interviewed locally last year, such as Chula Vista Elementary School Board member Kate Bishop, have accepted that it's part of the job of being a woman and holding office, but it cuts.
It hits me hard, and I say, God, that's scary. The person making the threat doesn't have the words to express their emotions healthily because our society isn't teaching boys how to be healthy.
Amitha, thank you.
Thank you, Debbie.
That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. Join us again tomorrow for the day's top stories. I'm Debbie Cruz. Thanks for listening and have a great Wednesday.
KPBS On Demand is supported by the National Conflict Resolution Center. Topics like political polarization and hybrid work policies can create workplace conflict. NCRC can help workplace leaders navigate divisive issues with the Culture, Communication, and Conflict Certificate. More at ncrconline.com.